Praise the Lord. Like I said, I'll be leaving tomorrow morning and heading out to get a few things done. So the next time I see all these wonderful faces, they will be a little tired from a very long plane ride, but we're going to take good care of them. It's going to be a special time. As a church family, we are dedicating ourselves to a summer in the Spirit. As Jesus says to every one of the seven churches that he speaks to in Revelations 2 and 3, he says, "Let the one who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying." My joy is that over the past few weeks, we have heard very clearly from the Word of God, and we have made a commitment to the altars to make sure we're taking time to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice again, to pray and allow the Lord to speak to us. Today, we have the gift of a family, a church family member, a friend for so many years, Dr. Jay LaRue, who has faithfully prayed for our church for well over a decade. Not that he's that old. He's very young, but he's just, you know, he's prayed since he was two, right, Jay? So, he really holds Cornerstone in his heart. Jay is gifted as a Bible teacher with his doctorate, has taught in Bible school, and as well is very open to letting the Lord use him in the gift of prophecy. And some may not be familiar with what healthy biblical prophecy looks like, but 1 Corinthians 14 tells us this: the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, for their encouraging, and their comfort. And what you'll find as God chooses to use Jay is that that is exactly how he shares. And so for some of us, that is something we're very familiar with us. For some, it's a new part of our faith. But the joy of the Lord is when we are seeking the Lord, sometimes what we cannot hear on our own, and there's things in our lives that make it hard for us to believe and understand, sometimes God gives somebody else the opportunity to speak into our lives from the Lord to say, "Here is what the Lord is saying," and it helps us receive confirmation, comfort, and strength in the journey. And so you're going to see that as Jay will share in the Word and then spend a few moments ministering as the Lord would lead today. So I just want to encourage you, for those online, we're so glad you're with us and praying this is going to be a powerful time of hearing from the Lord. Let all of us who have ears hear what the Spirit is going to say. Amen. Amen. Would you welcome up Dr. Jay LaRue?
Well, I leaned over to Sarah, the best part of the Franco family, and said, my, what has taken place? He's a grandfather now. Look at those socks, that light blue jacket. What's happened in these last 2 years? I mean, it's like incredible. It's just, I just thought, wow, he looks, a little bit of New York is starting to show up, you know. I don't know if you know, but that's his roots, and they're deep in there, but we're working them out a little bit. Yeah, so I know that we're you know, it's the time schedule, which I don't mind at all, but I do want to share some things here, and I definitely want to get out onto the floor and encourage you, especially this morning, them and the church and many things the Lord is doing. And so I want to give kind of the honors and the privileges for Linda, and I'm going to say that for next service. But of course, having her here is always a pleasure. The only thing that's changed since we've seen you is we have our second, I know, it's going to be hard to believe when I introduce her, second great-grandchild. Yeah, it's kind of like a... For those who are maybe in my generation, this is what the new 50 looks like. Yeah, so if you're 50, be happy. You're the new 30. Under that, I can't say anything because I can't reach there. But she is here this morning for the first service along with some very dear friends of ours. So I want Linda to stand up, just let you see her. She's beautiful. My baby. She's my baby. Yeah. And just for one person in particular, she's actually the first wife of a very, very dear friend of mine. She's home watching us. You know who I'm talking about, I'm sure. Certainly she understands what I'm saying, and he does too. So it's the best wife he's ever had, but it is his first wife. So I just want to say, we love you and we miss you this morning. Be healed, be made strong, and we'll see you soon. Okay, if you don't mind that. I want to encourage us greatly this morning, again, out of the scriptures. We're living in the greatest time period of the restoration of our God's ultimate intention that we've ever seen before. He is not interested in reruns, though we have a tremendous history of him doing great things. No, no, no. I believe this without question in this generation. He's determined that which has been hidden in his heart from the beginning. He is longing to do something in this generation that we have never known before. And there's so many things I want to say, of course, to you, but I'm going to scale it down to just a voice out of the prophets. One huge thing that happens when we're in a time period of restoration, especially at the level that we're at now, and is that there is an enlarging of the prophetic voice in the prophetic writings. Paul will say something that I love. He's just come out of Antioch. He's still Saul. We don't even really know him yet. And he'll stand up in the synagogue and he'll say this, the prophets are read every Sabbath, but the voice of the prophets is never heard. And so there's a voice within the writings. There's things he's saying. Yes, they're beautiful ways they do it. And so I'm going to go to one of the major prophets this morning with us. And I just want you to live it out with me. But I want to do, because I have a few minutes, I want to say it this way. When we approach the prophetic books, the prophetic writings, the 12 minor or the 4 major, the only reason they're called that way is because the 4 are bigger and the 12 are smaller. That's the only reason. So no, the major reason for it, that's it. When we approach them, there's first thing we need to know is what is going on in their life, in their world. We've got to relate to it. And this morning, it is so key and so necessary. So I want to, as I always love doing, is we're going to walk through this moment that Isaiah is experiencing. Secondly, is the messianic word within the text. I like it better. What will this Jesus look like? Who will he be? Why is he here? What is he showing? What is he revealing? What is his intent? We're still learning it. Of course, they didn't understand it. That's why they rejected him. It's amazing to me still. They were waiting all this time for him, and then we got here, he wasn't what they were expecting. I don't want that to be with us, for sure. The last thing is, which I love the most, is what is he saying out of the prophetic writings to any generation that is poised for his incredible restoration? It certainly is us. So I want to see this, and I not only want to go through the historical measures of it, though, but I want to bring it to where we're living right now. You okay with that? Yeah, and my team back there, Steve Allen. I think Steve, I don't know, he doesn't get old either. I went back there. I make him nervous for some reason. I don't know why, but when all these years when I get together, he seems to be easier with me, but he still has that little look in his eye sometimes when I start walking there. Is everything okay, Jay? I said, oh, yeah, everything's okay, Steve. Just a little homie going on here. You okay with that? Isaiah chapter 8. How about our worship team this morning? Right? Were they beautiful? Great songs. I so love it that when he gets exalted and we're not hearing about us, I really don't want to hear about us. I want to hear about him. It's about him, his preeminence, everything about him. It was so beautiful this morning. Thank you. Isaiah chapter 8. Before we go there, I just want to give you a little historical setting, if you don't mind. The nation was divided 200 years earlier. Now there's the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom and the 2 tribes of the southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. It's in Isaiah's moment right now, and there's a conspiracy going on. You're going to see it. It's chatter. I mean, his phone is like my phone this morning. is banging with just all these conspiracy theories. There's good reason, though. You see, the king of Israel and the king of Syria and the king of Egypt are all conspiring to attack Judah. They could never fight this. It's a small little portion of all Israel. It's Judah. It's where the prophet Isaiah is. On top of that, from this moment, 13 years from this very moment that we're about to read and experience, the great Assyrian army in 13 years will become the greatest conquering army of the ancient world. They will literally deport the entire northern kingdom and replace them with what you and I will come to know as the Samaritans. So there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of talk going on. And I love this moment because Isaiah is feeling it. It's very much like the world I've been living in. No matter what I turn on, no matter what I listen to, there's this constant pressure of fear about what is going on in the world, what is going on in our world. And he's living in the midst of it. The fear is real. But I love it this moment because this amazing God, all summer long, is we want to hear his voice. We want to hear him speaking. He loves to speak, especially out of here. And he will break in at this moment of great fear, great uncertainty, great debate about the future, the hope of the future. And I love what he does in Isaiah's response. We're going to see it. You with me? Isaiah chapter 8, beautiful, verse 11. Oop, I'm in the wrong book. By the way, first service, a lot of passion for first service. I'm pretty surprised. Just, you know, kind of like, yo, yeah, really, love it. Okay, here it is. Let me read. Just read along with me. King James, hope you don't mind. Verse 11, for the Lord spake this to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, it's translated confederacy, the word is conspiracy. Don't say conspiracy to all them to whom this people shall say a conspiracy, neither fear their fear nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself and let him be your fear, let him be your dread. Wait till we get to those words. Look at this, verse 14, we're going to see this first messianic word, four of them out of this one text, but we'll see three. He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the heavens of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Verse 16, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. The only time the word is used in the Old Testament, definitely pointing to a New Testament time period. I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are four signs and four wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Now, verse 19 through 22, I'm not going to touch, but I can imagine this would happen to the people of God. I'm going to just read it. When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble, darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Boy, we are heading in that direction. Chapter 9, same thought. I love this word. Nevertheless, no matter what, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation. When at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and the Galilee of the nations. Verse 2, and the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Let's pray. Father, I so thank you, Lord, for, again, I haven't acknowledged it here yet, but the incredible honor and privilege that has been for Linda and I to be a part of this church 20 years. Incredible. This morning, Lord, is always my cry and travail is that the revelation of Jesus Christ be to us all. The revelation of this kingdom of God and of heaven simultaneously in you, that this kingdom freely given to us, a kingdom that has no limitations, freely ours. That not only the revelation of it, but the manifestation of it, that our kids and grandkids, the generations, will experience the kingdom in unprecedented ways. That's the cry this morning. So, Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I love it. I can imagine that the prophet Isaiah, he's pacing, I'm sure. The fear is real, like many things in our world. And I love this moment. He's hearing all kinds of things. Even this morning, I must have 7 or 8 prophetic things on my phone. Jay, I don't know about this. Watch out for this. In the mountains, in the valleys. I got a great button on my phone. It's the delete button. Bang, bang, bang. I'm done with that. And I love it. He breaks in, and I love what we are here this summer. The voice of God and hearing it. The time that I need to hear him is exactly at a moment like this. With the fear and everything that's going around in his life, the fear of the enemy, everything that's being said. And I love it. With a strong hand, the Lord says to him, do not get involved in their conspiracies. And I want to say to you this way. I want to encourage you, church, this incredible Cornerstone Church, do not listen to the conspiracies out there. Do not listen to what's going on in our world. And I like what he says. He goes, listen. Don't fear their fear or be afraid. So I want to say this to us too. Listen, Do not be afraid. Do not fear. And I love his instruction note because, again, I don't read these things just to teach them. I read them because I've got to apply them to my life. I want to hear him now in the time that I'm living in the day that I'm living in when everything seems to strike against the hope and the promises of everything he's declared and what he has written. And I love it. The Lord says, he says, listen, sanctify the Lord of hosts. It's a great Hebrew phrase. I want you to know what it is, though. What it means is no matter where you have him, maybe on a wall, maybe printed, maybe somewhere on your refrigerator, take him and set him forefront. Whatever you look at, look through him. Whatever you're seeing, see it through him. Wherever you are in your life, if it's a good time or a bad time, look to and through him. Set him forefront. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. Man, I love these words. It's translated in King James similar, but they're not the same words that the world is fearing, that what's going out there. No, what it means here is let him be your awe. It's the same thing he talks about in the New Testament about Noah. When Noah heard the voice of God, it says he stood in fear. But the word really means is he stood in awe of what God was declaring. I want you to know this morning, I stand in awe of him. You know why? Because he is absolutely awesome. The word continues, though. The word dread, I would immediately thought, whoa, that means, that sounds to be scary. No. If you and I will sanctify the Lord, put him first, he will become awesome to us. And the word dread means he will continually awe us with everything inspiring, everything he does. Let him be our awe. And let him be continually awe-inspiring, causing you and I to be moved by him. I know this about him for sure. He is looking for a generation that wants to see him and behold him in ways other generations only dreamed of. He wants to come in such biblical proportion, the world will never be the same again. That's why we have these beautiful, I hope I can touch them on the end, these three beautiful dimensions of the Christ that are in here prophetically, and that is the cornerstone, everything this church is, and the rock, everything he came to establish, and the great light. People sitting in darkness and saw great lights. Everything about him is who he was. Those very things. The Lord goes on to say to him, bind up the testimony, which I love this, and the law to my disciples. I'm here with you this morning. If there's anything that Cornerstone's always aimed for, was their goal, was it was making disciples. I just met a young man. He met me outside there. They grow here, you know. So if I don't see anybody for a year or two, the face is familiar, but they used to look up into my nostrils. Now I get to look up into theirs. I don't really like that too much. And so he met me out there, and he goes, I know you spoke when I was in. I said, what are you, in college? I'm 11th grade. 11th grade? Yeah, you must be talking about my brother. I said, you heard me? Yeah, I think he was probably in the fifth or sixth grade then, and I spoke to the young people here. I said, how was? He goes, that's right. That's what I want to hear. Exactly right, yeah. He still remains awesome with him. But I love this moment. When I first saw that, I thought for sure the prophet Isaiah, the Lord speaking to him, was talking about the law of Moses. It isn't. What he's saying to him is, I want you to bind together what I'm saying now through the mouth of the prophets and what the prophets are writing. And that's why I said to you from the very beginning, please understand this. This book is going to become more alive, more open, more revelated in this at this time period because of the level of this restoration, not just because of people who teach it. Oh, no, no. This is going to be limited to somebody like me or you or anyone else or just him and I or the pastoral staff. Oh, no, no. He wants to open up this word to the youngest of us. He wants to cause the revelation of this word to be such a passionate thing because the manifestation of it is what he intends. And I love this moment about this prophet. The world hasn't changed. The pressure's still there. The Assyrians are going to become a great army. He has prophesied about them. If this is all going to try, that, oh, this isn't changing. What's changing is his view, how he is seeing it. No matter what's happening. And by the way, I can't say it enough out of the text, but I will tell you this, though. The greater the enemy fears about the restoration of God, the greater the voice in the mouth is. It's not the people of our world. Please don't get moved by what people are saying. Sometimes it comes through the mouths of people. But this is the fear of the enemy, the spirit of the age, spirit of Antichrist, spirit of Babylon, whatever you want to give it to, whatever you want to call it, whatever name we give it. They're afraid of what God is about to do. That's why the resistance. That's why the pressure. Please don't judge it with people. The same thing with here. Isaiah is beginning to understand, though, it doesn't matter what they're saying. What matters is what I'm saying. What matters is what I'm doing. And when he begins to say to the prophet Isaiah, he'll never see it in his generation. He's speaking to another generation. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Why not here, and why not now? So bind up, and I'm doing it this morning. What he's saying, what the prophetic voice is saying this morning, hold on to it. Grip it. That's the idea of binding it. Grab hold of it. And what the prophets have written, watch it. It doesn't mean you have to be a scholar. Oh, it's not anything like that. This book is a living book. It's beautiful. No matter how little your time in it, it changes us. No matter how much you're in it, it changes us. It's beautiful. That's not how he is. That's not his thing. I have a responsibility in this thing, but it's still a pleasure. Then the prophet Isaiah begins to respond. Man, I'm doing really good with time here. I like it. I've said almost everything I want to say, almost. I want to get down there and say more on this other side of it all. Everybody good this morning? You with me? So already the Isaiah, and I wanted this morning, is starting to get a little bit of a... So all this is, I'm going to take you, set you forefront, keep you there. Everything I look at, I'm looking through you. Everything that I'm seeing it through you, through you. Yeah, and you be my awe. Yeah, that's pretty, no. You be my awe, and you'll continually be awe-inspiring to me. That's why I don't know, I don't live in our world. Getting older is a nasty thing in our world. I don't live in that world. In this world, in this kingdom, getting older, yay, I'm still wet here. I'm still green. Is this nice? And listen, Joshua didn't get started until he was 80, so I'm not even there yet. I'm still embryo-like. Yeah, that's right. I know, Dr. J, I don't know how you don't age. Well, I can tell you how I don't age. Keep him forefront and let him be your... So he responds. See, when I'm reading this, I'm reading it like I'm telling it to you. I'm in the drama of it. And I see he responds to this. He changes. And he says, I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from Jacob. What a phrase. I don't want to go there. I like this word because, you know, now I fly a lot. You know, I fly, Linda, as well, 50 weeks a year probably at least. And so my English idea of waiting is, like, I got here early, and so I'm waiting. You know, sir, you know this. I'm sure the wives are waiting for their husbands to get dressed this morning. Don't get me in trouble. You know, this is our idea. That's not his idea, but here's his waiting. They ask me, I have friends and colleagues of mine, especially my age, they're tired, they're weary. They'll say to me, Jay, please tell me, have you been waiting for the promise of God? Waiting? I heard things 46 years ago I'm still holding on to. How do you hold on to it? Because I hold on to it like this. This is my Monday morning. Yeah. This is it. Well, what do you do if it's Tuesday? What do you do if it's 10 years? What if it's 46 years? Same thing. I will wait upon the Lord. And then I love this. I will look for him. Love this phrase. The idea is it's similar, but I want to say it this way to us. This morning, if you're in a valley, please look for him. If you're on a mountaintop this morning, look for him. If you're standing in dimness and darkness, you're not sure if it's dawn or dusk. Look for him. If you're standing in the desert this morning, you say, Jay, it's so dry, so I'm so desperate to hear from him. Look for him. And so we're going to stay this way. What about the fear of our world? We're not getting involved in any conspiracies. I'm shutting it off. I'm turning it off. I'm not getting involved with that. I don't need to know this though. This is temporal. That's why Jesus was never moved by Rome. He didn't read Roman news. He didn't care about Rome. Rome didn't matter. He was bringing a kingdom that he knew would be established and every other kingdom would be drawn into it, just like now. Then he says this word, and I'm going to really finish here, and I'm going to come down there, which is beautiful. Makes this incredible phrase, me and the children who you have given me are four signs and four wonders. Isaiah's children do have some significance by their names, but he wasn't talking about his day. The greatest of them came. He not only had the signs and wonders, incredible, he was greater than Moses, greater than Elijah and Elisha. He had the signs and the wonders. He was the beginning of something that he intended to be in every generation. John would write, after recording 30 miracles, I guess if I had to write them all, the books of the world couldn't contain them. We just have 30. The incurable disease of leprosy. I just lost a friend to Lou Gehrig's disease. Incurable. I'm sick of that. I want to say to you, please hear this. Please hear this. He is without question restoring the power of God back to his people unprecedentedly. He is already. It's happening. Our younger generation, our kids, our grandkids will see it in biblical proportion. And his cry that it would be greater than his day, that's his intent as part of this restoration of his intent. But the thing that made him incredibly unique was he not only had the signs and the wonders, he became the sign and the wonder. He didn't just come talking about a cornerstone, he was the cornerstone. He didn't come talking about some covenant, he himself, by his flesh, established the covenant, which he intends to recover in this generation in ways we've never known. I read the book of Hebrews and I'm thinking, I've never even known this. That's his intent. A priesthood like his. He not only had the sign and wonder, he became the sign and wonder. Not only was he the rock, he was the great light. It's hard to understand with him because he is the exact replica of his father. He is the unveiled glory of God. I know, I'm not changing our language, but we sing about Sinai. Sinai shook that mountain. It was in this dark cloud. God was in it. Even Moses didn't just say, I'm not going near that. That glory feared people. People feared that glory. It hid God. This glory reveals him and draws men. It's something we have never known before. But he comes not only being the cornerstone and the capstone of the church, building her. It's his pleasure and honor to build her. He came to establish this rock that's in this set of passages, this covenant that we have never really known before. It's a far better covenant than we've ever seen or ever known before. And that's his intent, that we have in fullness, not a portion of it. And that the glory of God, once again, the hope of it is Christ in us, that the glory of God would once again be known in the world. His prayer was that the glory that I had from the beginning, they would have it, and the glory I now have, they would see it. Why? So that they would be one and the world would know that you have sent me. He's intending to do it. So I'm saying to us this morning, please know this. With the intent of God and the work of God, of his spirit and his providence in us, yes, he is going to return the power of God back to us, unprecedented. Do not be afraid of that. Do not be afraid of exercising it. He will do it. But in this generation, it's been my cry, but I know he's going to do it though. But we're not going to have the power without the character, the nature, and the disposition of the Christ. We've got to have it. We cannot have what we've had. He's drawn a line. It's over. He's changing it all. I'm glad. For my generation, I so wanted to speak about Abraham this morning so desperately, but we had to do this. I wanted to my generation, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to say to us how valuable we are to the ultimate intention of God. But I'm so wanting us to make the changes he's intending. Because you know and you felt that he's been shaking everything. It's positive. My travail is that our generation not only see the power of God restored, but that my kids and my grandkids, when they look into Grandpa Jay, Uncle Jay, Dr. Jay, they say, when we see you, we see him. It's got to be here, and he is restoring it back to us. We okay? She said, I was going to fall. That's pretty. Me jumping up there might be another challenge. I just want to speak a word to them and to the church. I just want you to hear it, okay? It's very, very, very positive. You want to still live stream this? Your mommy say goodbye to live stream. You don't mind at all, okay? She has the mic if you want to join me, okay? You're good? All right. Well, I still have time. I'm doing. By the way, she gave me more time, so that clock doesn't mean anything to me. When I say she, I mean the boss over there. Yeah, I got a lot of she bosses. Not the one that's blonde, the one that's a little darker than her to the right. Which I all summer look just like her. But if I could get that hair, I'd really be happy. Can you see me with that hair? The preaching would be a whole other thing. Be all over the place and be like, yeah. Oh, yeah, instead I got skin. It's hard to do this, you know, and have some action to it. Yeah. So this is beautiful because I just want you to hear it. It's beautiful. Is the Lord, he always forms a wineskin. I know we have a building and we're the temple, but it's always about a wineskin because he was always going to create flexibility so he can squeeze, he can move. It was always that way. We know that. And what's happened over the years here is there's been pieces torn off it. I'm not going to go the whys and the whats and the whatevers. I don't have to do that. That doesn't matter. I know why, how, when. That doesn't matter. But they've been ripped off it. And so we know what men do is they patch it. And over years, the church has been this way. Over years, it's just been patch it. Put something more modern on. Put a new dress. Put some smoke. Now, I'm not against any of those things. Put lighting in. Put better sound. Let's do this. We just as men, we want to patch it. Which is normal. But he made it clear that if you patch it, I cannot pour the new wine in because it will burst. And my brother, my sister, listening for the staff, his intent always here from the first day, it's just not Wayno, but it's from the root of Wayno. My knowing him is how you and I got to, everyone knows that. That root was always passionate for the new wine. Even with Ricky, it was the same way. There was a passion. So I grew up knowing that there was going to be a new wine. So I've passioned after it. But I know, though, too, that as I got older, the older would say the older wine is better. And so I knew that I was standing at a time period in my own life that I would be tested on, what do I want, Jay? Am I going to be passionate for the new wine, or am I going to be satisfied with the old wine? And so I already made that decision long before I got to my age now. I got to drink of the new wine. But what I realized, though, is for that to happen, there has to be a new skin. And so in my own personal life, there's been almost every decade has been a new skin, sometimes 12 years, sometimes 6. He's having to reskin me. It's not a bad thing. It sounds like something bad. If you're a hunter, it's not a nice thing. But he had to do it because I cannot have the new wine. So you have to know that what's happening here is he's dissolving this present skin, and he's in the process of building a new skin because he's going to pour out the new wine here, always was intended. And so it's difficult, though, because when there's a wine change, it's uncomfortable. No different when you're shearing sheep. No different when you're pruning down a vine. When it's pruned down, it feels like it's naked. It feels like it doesn't fit. It's the same. When Jesus was cleaning the temple, it felt like he was angry, but he wasn't. He was getting rid of all the things that were unnecessary, that couldn't be there, so the house could be a house of prayer. It's all those dimensions of the administration of the Spirit of God. And so there's a lot of things we could have said here. It could be the temple. Of course he's establishing the cornerstone. Of course he's going to establish the rock. Of course his intent is to bring light. That's why I came out of this thing. By the way, two verses before the 11th verse, just so you'll know out of context. Wait, let's see. Is the prophetic word about him being Emmanuel? So we can add that in here, though. Does he, I'm going to say this because it's a perfect time for it, though. Visitation isn't his passion. Habitation is why he's lived. And so there's a change coming, though, because as much as we need revival or we need rebuilding and restoration, that is not his intent. But I'm getting this in without even preaching it. I want this to come from this, too. I would need 3 weeks at least. So you're going to, this is the thing, and this has always been our personal cry. That's why you have this staff. That's why Travis has got it. Brandon has got it. Wayne always had it. It's been part of the DNA of this church, this fellowship, that it would be a place of new wine, that everybody would drink of it at any age they wanted to. They would drink at their leisure, at their time, no different than it was during Esther's day. They drink according to their ability to drink. But he was absolutely going to be sure that the temple would be built and it would be a place of his habitation. And that becomes so critical because in the administration of the Spirit, it's hard to understand. It's hard to know. That's why they refused Jesus. That's why they pushed him away. They couldn't understand the work of God at that time. And we're very much in a place like this. Is he upset at the world? I'm saying this to you as a prophetic word. You understand it, but I'm letting them hear too. Is he upset at the world? No way. He loves the world. He loves his church. And he knows, which I'm thankful for, the only way he's going to reach them is through us. And so the change has to come. Right. You're not quite in my generation. How old are you? I shouldn't be doing that in the middle. Oh, no, you're not. Yeah, sorry about that in the middle. Okay, so my generation basically starts at 62, so you're still a kid to me. Yeah, which is good. Yeah, my generation, as I said up there already, how we respond is what things will take place. I will say this to you. In this generation, the generation of our sons, I have them over there. I have sons and grandchildren, really, over there. He will do exactly what I've said. And you, please don't say to your children, I'm saying the same word to this church in this way. Please don't say to your children, oh, I wish you were born another time. No. Say to your children, what a time. What a time. What a time. This is the time to let him be awe. And let him be awesome, and let him continue to be awesome, no matter what's going on in our world. So I want you to know, my brother, the Lord, and my sister especially, but the team, especially you too, the Lord will strengthen you. And where there's been such weariness and tiredness, and in many ways a fresh travail, it feels like the birth pains are there, but yet we're seeming to not. It's almost like things have been stillborn. It almost seems like things have been aborted. And so what that does is cause a lot of scarring. And so throughout the church, there's a tremendous amount of scarring in the womb of the church. And he's come to heal it and recover it. So this really comes to you this morning, not only out of this word, but this word, though. It's really just a good time to now look up. Don't look either way, not east, west, not north, south. This is a good time to look because redemption draws near, and what he has said, what he has promised, he will do it.
Amen. Amen.
You're good. You're good. Thank you for that. Okay, so I still have a little bit more time, right? Yeah, I have till 10:40. So we all, everybody good? Oh, that's it. Yeah. I thought you couldn't see. Can you see? You can't. You just want to hear a stumble, like a head hitting the ground. You would know that for sure, right?
No,
I could do it, but I get the front nervous. Yeah. So you know the Lord has held you. Sorry, kick it up real quick. I'm trying not to look around the room because I'll just stop and keep going. I don't want to do that. Try not to do that. But this is good, especially for you. And really, this is for your older eldership, though, it could be a carried word. Whether he's still on it or not, I don't know. Chucky. So the Lord's held you, and this I love, my brother, my sister. A real concern of mine is the Exodus and Joshua moment where two men out of a generation cross over, live your whole life with the provision of God, but never have the inheritance of God. I don't want that. I was raised, though, provisionally thinking. if the Lord's blessing me, there's peace in my home and we have finances and we have the home we want, that's his inheritance. No. That's just him being good God. He did that to people who didn't even like him. That's nothing for him. But we've made that the full covenant. It's nowhere near it. That's part of what I'm saying. And so my cry has been this, though, my travail for my generation, again, that's not them, it's you for sure, and others in this room. The travail for my generation is that we allow his work to be in us, that we too can cross over and be a part of leading the next generation into his full promise, because certainly we haven't had it. And so it's been my cry. And so when I look, and no matter what church I'm at, when I could find some of the gray-haired ones and some of the ones who are submitting themselves to the process of God, which I can't even talk about here, it thrills me, because it has been my cry, my travail for our generation. So please know that he's held you over. Whether you retire, I don't know, I would suggest that you never leave here, but you can do what you want when it comes to that. He would never make you do anything. But it's strategic. Those who are willing to submit themselves to his process and are willing to walk across the Jordan and experience all of this to bring a generation or guide a generation to his promises, he's looking for those. Desperately looking. The eyes of the Lord are to and fro looking for those. And I want you to know that's how he sees it. But I want to say this to you. Because of the sacrifice, and you continue the sacrifice, he will meet your seed in ways they never thought possible. And he'll carry it from generation to generation. That's why Abraham was so important. It wasn't just going to be to Isaac and Jacob. We're still feeling the effects of Abraham's decisions to simply obey him. That's what happens when a generation is willing to obey. And so I want, it's my travail. Lyndon knows it more than anybody, some of the close guys with me, because my generation is not only dying out, but they're weary, tired, exhausted. We've been waiting for so long. I know, but man, this is the day to fully embrace him again. This is the day to once again reach for him. And I don't care what they say about our age. I don't care if my pecs are falling in my socks. I don't care. I'll work. I don't care. For some things, I'm dying every day. I know that on the outside. I don't care what I do. Put this face cream on. Stay young. Jump up and down. Jump off the stage. I know that. But this inward man, yo, renewed every single day. And that's what we're going to believe. So please know that. Encourage your brothers as you always do. Strengthen them. All right, why don't you stand with me, please. Okay, get ready. I'm going to jump up. Okay, so I just want to do just one more young person. I just want to do one young person because I've been just, well, I talk to young people here too, though. So, right, your oldest granddaughter, right there, right? The blonde, yeah. Yeah, to her. So, you know, I want you to know, I don't know where mom and dad do church and everything else like that. It doesn't really matter, or where everything is, or really where you are. I want you to know that the Lord really, he has a special place in his heart for you. There's similar things going on with your siblings, though, and your whole family. But I want you to know, young lady, that the Lord is going to see a hunger for his word. The beautiful thing is, you don't have to, don't be me, don't be them, don't be anybody, be you. But he's going to put in there, you're born not only being a firstborn, but you're born to lead. You're born to be a woman who really is in front of the pack, somebody who's really a pioneer in what the kingdom of God is going to be to your generation. I get the pleasure of being a part of your generation. Love your generation. He absolutely loves your generation. And there's things I say to your generation that I haven't said to this generation because he's doing it in yours and he wants to do it here. But I want you to know, though, that this whole church thing is not because you have to or because it's the way your parents are. It's a thing he's determined for your life, that you come to know him in ways that you would not know him. And young lady, you're going to find him meeting you, especially with night dreams. You're just going to see, he's going to start just common things. Even things I say to you, I've said, you're just going to kind of remember them, but he's going to continue doing this in your life. Just be aware, though, that this is just not growing up, that he's very aware of what's going on in your life. Don't think he's ogre, or grandpa-like, or papa-like, or dad-like. He's nothing like us. He's nothing like us. There's nothing man about him. But his love and his passion is beyond belief. That is what you're going to begin to taste of. And his love for humanity and his love for people, young lady, is going to be the real mark of your life. Amen this morning. So I just want to, before I just was closing, when I'll close, Pastor, you want to come up here too? Are you good? I want to do this though. This morning, especially if you just need, like, okay, Jay, I hear you, but I just, yeah, I'm in one of those places. I like what you're saying. I want it, but I just want it, but I don't know how. I feel like this morning I got the strength just to say by the word of the Lord that the Lord begin to reveal himself to us. If that's your heart and passion this morning, how about just raise your hand? That he speak clearly? Hearing out of Jay LaRue's mouth is fine, but Jesus made it clear to the one who, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So Father, in Jesus' name, to my brothers and my sisters, no matter what the age, no matter where they are, no matter where our place is, if this morning we came in broken, or we came in passionate, or we came in tired and weary and worn out, or we came as a victorious mountain climber, wherever we are, let the word of the Lord be pure, open. Let us hear your voice, especially out of your word, and let there be a renewed passion to embrace you, a renewed hope, and a renewed faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can we say thank you to Jay?